the morning.
We'll be reading from Matthew 6, 25 through 35. 34. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, and what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. Neither they sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you not more valuable than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed in one of these. But in God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious in saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you will need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. As the story goes, there was a young man and his name was Worry. And Worry could worry about anything. It didn't matter. All he did was worry. And when his friends saw him, they would run up to him and they would just dump stuff on him. Worry about this. Worry about this. And he would just worry, worry, worry. And he would walk around, shoulders down, because he was always worried. And one day, his friends saw this young man and he was walking spry. His shoulders were back and he was just walking around, doing what he needed to do. And they said, hey, that looks like Worry. Ain't that Worry? No, that can't be Worry. He doesn't look like he's worried about anything. No, that is Worry. And they ran over to him and they start trying to dump stuff on him to make him worry, and he would not worry. And they said, hey, what's wrong with you? He said, you used to worry about everything. He said, now you're not worried about a thing. What's going on? He said, man, I paid a guy $37.50 an hour to do all my worrying. So I don't worry about a thing anymore. They said, but worry. You don't make but $12 an hour. How are you going to pay $37.50? Worry said, that ain't my worry. That's their worry. Amen. So over the past few weeks, Pastor has been in a series he has called The Summit. And as we have been walking through this, he has been teaching us from probably the most important passage from the Bible. Would we say that? Matthew 5, 6, and 7, known as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. There are so many lessons in that set of passages. And so far, we have learned to be salt and light. We have learned to live upside down and inside out. We have learned that we must be willing to do the second mile stuff. And last week, he challenged us to either pretend or be ourselves. Now, this is a shameless plug for our website, therockworships.com. If you have missed any of those messages, I would encourage you, go to the website, click on sermons, and then you can find most of our recent messages. And I would encourage you, whenever you miss, go back and listen to those. Being a part of the church, it's more than just coming here when you can, but you also want to be under the teaching of the person of God, in this case, Pastor Monty. You know, God inspires him, and we are praying. And if we're praying and we come to this church, then we have to trust that one of the ways that God will answer our prayers is through the person delivering God's message. So if you miss, go back and listen, because you don't know, but that what you have been praying for, God gave it to Pastor Monty. Pastor Monty came and preached the word that God had designed for you, but you had another commitment. Now you're not here. You didn't get what God wanted you to have. Now you're mad at who? God. Well, God don't answer prayers. Yes, he does. We just have to be consistent, all right? So that's my shameless plug to get more of you on the website, more of you listening and re-listening to the messages. All right, we good? All right, today's message, we are going to turn in the Bible to the book of Matthew, where Jesus talks about do not worry. And in our foundation scripture, he teaches us that we are not supposed to worry about our clothes or anything like that. So here is a definition of worry. Worry is defined as to give way to anxiety or unease. Allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. We just focused on those things. That's worry. But here's something that we forget. Jesus, before he left, in his upper room discourse found in John, let's use that word, makes it sound like I'm a Bible scholar, but found in John, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. What's he telling us? What's he telling the disciples there? Don't worry. Do not worry. And then he explains in my Father's house, and we're not going to go there here, but that's what Jesus is saying. Don't worry. Now, I was watching a movie the other day called Mr. Church. And the movie is not necessarily what it sounds like. But there's a line in the movie where the narrator, who is also one of the characters in the movie, says, Mr. Church says that books should be read from front to back, but if you want to understand them, sometimes it's nice to read them from the back and then go to the front. So what I want to do is, Paul and Tyler came up and they shared Matthew 6, 25 to 34. And I want us to go all the way to the end of that, almost to the end of it. And we're going to read from Matthew 6, 33. And it says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All these things were the necessities of life. Things that you know you need, not want. You know, you don't have to have the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. It will be nice, but it is not a need. But food, water, clothes, shelter, God will provide those for you. And so in order to really appreciate this idea of seeking God first, we have to go back. Well, we don't have to, but that's what I'm doing. We have to go back into the Old Testament. We're talking about seeking God first in times of trouble. And in the book of Exodus, we find Moses and the Israelites. And they are on a trek. They've left Egypt, and they're on their way to the promised land. But they run into an obstacle. This obstacle was called the Sea of Reeds. I just said that because it's also the Red Sea, but I just wanted to sound intelligent. Did it work? Okay, just checking. The Red Sea. So they get to the Red Sea, and things happen. But before that, I want to get too far ahead of myself. In Exodus 14, starting at verse 10, we read, "As Pharaoh approached the Israelites, looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said, 'Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert.'" And watch Moses' response. He said, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Moses sought God first. Got a question for you. Why was Moses so quick to turn to God? You don't have to answer that. Why does Moses trust God in what appears to be a perilous situation? We have a body of water that we cannot cross, and we have an army, a capable army, coming upon us. And even in the midst of that, Moses turns to God, and he is turning the Israelites to God. Why is Moses doing this? Can I give you the answer? Some of you are waiting on pins and needles. I got to know this. Here's why. Because he spent time with God. He knows God. He knows who God is and what he's capable of doing. And so sometimes, you better not say it. I'm going to say it. Sometimes you get upset because God's not doing this, that, and the other thing. And the reality is, you have no idea who God is. You don't spend any time with him. You spend time with the things that you want to do, and then you get upset because God's not showing up and responding in ways that you want him to. So what do you turn to? You start worrying. You just begin to worry about it. Oh, okay, is it going to work out? I don't know. Here's a pop quiz. How well do you know your best friend? Think about it. How well do you know your best friend? As you're thinking about that, I want to ask you this question. When you have problems, are you comfortable turning to your best friend and getting them to kind of talk you through and help you through the problems? I would imagine that most of us in here would probably say, yeah, I'm very comfortable talking to my best friend and talking through my problems with them. Can I ask you why? Why are you comfortable talking to your best friend and working through your problems? Do you guys know the answer? And I know you do. Say again. You trust them. You love them. How'd you build that trust? Huh? Spend time with them. I know my best friend. I spent time with them. Call them on the phone. Go to their house. Spend time. Hey, let's go to dinner. Hey, let's go to this place. You spend time with them. And so you develop that great relationship. And so when something happens, you could turn to them. Oh, I know they can help me with this. But then something happens in your spiritual life. And the first thing you want to do is panic. And you can't understand why. You're worrying oftentimes because you have not been spending time with God. Moses is standing at the Red Sea. The Egyptians are coming. And it's almost like he said, we're not going to sweat this. We're good. Because he tells the Israelites, be still. Trust God. And so as we popcorn ourselves all the way back to the book of Matthew, we are reminded that Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? In a real sense, he's telling us, listen, don't worry about the small stuff. You need to be focused on the big stuff. And then think about this. He hasn't even done this yet. He hasn't even done what I'm about to tell you yet. When he's talking here, he hasn't even done this yet. But he hasn't fed the 5,000 yet. He hasn't fed the 4,000 yet. He hasn't turned water into wine yet. Jesus is saying, hey, don't worry about it. And then he follows it up by showing them who he is. God has spent time showing you who he is in his word. The problem is you haven't spent time learning about who he is in his word. Therefore, when problems come, you start worrying. And here's the funny thing. We feel justified in our worry. You ever had a friend and they're worrying about something? And you say, hey, don't worry about it. Let's put that in God's hand. And they'll look you right in the face and say, well, I have, but he just hasn't done anything. And so I just, you know, I don't know what's gonna happen. I guess we'll just, you know, maybe this is going to kill us or blah, blah. What did Moses say? He told them, be still. Don't be afraid. This is what we must do instead of taking up worrying. When Moses says, don't be afraid, that's synonymous with don't worry. When we fear, in a real sense, we are worrying. It's like the Israelites had forgotten everything that God had done leading up to this point. Remember the plagues? Well, those happened earlier. Remember the fact that all of the firstborn sons of Egypt died and none of the firstborn of the Israelites died? That had already happened. Why weren't they pulling on that? Oh, yeah, that's right. If he can do that, this water is nothing. But that is not how they responded. They responded in fear. What has God done for you in your life to get you where you are today? Maybe there's people in here who really have no relationship with God. You're seeking God. There's nothing wrong with that. Because the God that we serve, those of us who are serving God, who are worshiping God, who do love the Lord, he is more than able to share right in your heart who he is and to get you to begin yearning to know him better. Because until you Begin to know who God is. Worry is going to be your best friend. It is only when you have a right relationship with God. What does that mean? That means spending time in His Word, on your knees with His people, serving, going and making disciples of all nations. Until you're doing that, of course worry is going to be your best friend. And guess who's going to be carrying it? You're going to carry the worry, and your adversary, the who, is prowling around seeking who he may devour. And one of his weapons that he uses to devour you is to throw things on you so you can worry about them. Child is sick. Oh, we got to worry. Job looking like they might close down some positions. Oh, we better worry. But this isn't what God has called you to do. And as we look at the Israelites, we can see, well, hold up a second. If he did these things for them, won't he do it for us? What's that? You Christians, y'all like to say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and? Oh, Sunday school taught us that. But that's for other people's lives. That's not for our life. He meant that for them. You don't understand. I need this worry. I have to worry. I have to spend time focusing on things that I cannot control. I have to spend time worrying about it so that when it doesn't happen and when all this time that I've spent worrying is wasted, I can feel good that at least I worried well. If you think about it, that's the only place we're going there. So let's move forward. God, or rather Moses, is here, and the people need a miracle. And so as we go back to Exodus 14, verse 15, we read, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground.'" I'm going to pick that up again in a second, but I want you to understand, you missed it, and it's okay. Because if you would have gotten it, might be some people in here falling out of their chair. I get it. Praise the Lord. You missed it. I'm going to read that part again. You missed it, and I'm going to tell you what you missed. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground.'" Did anybody get it? Am I the only one in here that got it? God already equipped him. He already had in his hand everything that God was going to use to do the miracle in his life. God didn't have to add something to Moses. He had it in his hand. God has already equipped you. You're already ready to overcome what you're worrying about, but you're so focused on worry, you're not focused on what God has already equipped you with. Don't worry about it. Raise the staff and stretch out your hand. No, you're just making that up. Somebody already knows what I'm about to tell them. What did Moses use when we were seeing all the plagues? Come on, somebody. Threw it on the ground, and what did it become? I don't like this sermon. You're making us do all this Bible reading, and we have to remember what we read. Pastor Monty, I wish he would be back right now. And he took that staff, and he stuck it in the water. I'm not talking about the water at the Red Sea. I'm talking about the other water. And what happened to it? It turned into blood. He had what he needed in his hand. You have what you need already with you. Now, I'm not going to go back to that song, "Where's Ryan?" I'm not going back to that song today. But you know I love that song, Who You Say I Am. Most of the men in here know I love that song. But if you are who God says you are, then he equips you. When worry comes, when something comes, don't hang out there. All right, God, what you got for me? And he'll say, hey, do this. Hey, do that. Speak this word over it. Oh, you meddling. You meddling. Just keep going. Keep going. Is the sermon almost over? So we're going to continue. He said, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. May not remember this, another Bible lesson. When all these plagues were happening, God was hardening Pharaoh's heart. This is why every time Pharaoh would say, oh, stop it, oh, you can go, never mind. And then he would come back and back. And finally, he let him go. Why are the Egyptians chasing down the Israelites? Well, what happened was, you guys don't know this, I'm going to share. They left this out of the Bible. But Pharaoh was good. Pharaoh was good. But Pharaoh's wife came to him and said, who gonna do my nails? You better get them back. And so this is why. I know you don't know that, but I share that with you so that when you're talking to your friends, you can better understand why did the Egyptians chase down the Israelites? Because Mrs. Pharaoh needed a good mani-pedi. Don't do that. Y'all going to be out there and they're going to kick me out of, take my ordination away. Praise God. All right. So then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. What is that about? See, this in the film world, that's TV world, that's called a teaser. I'm holding that there. I'm not going to explain what that's about. So I want you guys to go, ooh, sit on the edge of my seat. There's going to be more later. But somehow, some way, the angel of the Lord, who was leading the Israelites where they were going, picks up, come on now, y'all, oh, please get this, and wedges itself between the Israelites and their problem. Oh, he shouted. Hold up, come on, y'all didn't. I should have been like, woo, amen. Watch this. The angel of the Lord, he's guiding, he's leading, right? Problem is coming. He picks himself up and wedges himself between the Israelites and their what? Come on, somebody. Come on. Yeah, there it is. There it is. Think about that. You got a problem. What's God going to do? He's going to come and he's going to stand between you and your what? Y'all didn't get that. Y'all didn't get that. Let's get the praise team. Let's just pray. Come on. Doesn't that get you excited? Think about that. Wait a minute. You mean I've been doing all this worrying for nothing? Yes. There's no requirement to worry. There's no requirement for you to worry. If you trust God, come on. Did the Israelites ask God to pick up and get between them and their problem? Nope. We're done. We should have stayed back there. You could just picture the angel of the Lord going, this is who we are. We're so busy worrying, we're forgetting what God has already done for us. He will continue to do as long as we remain faithful. This is what God wants from you, faith. And you cannot have faith and worry in the same room. Well, now you don't know what you're talking about. You can't have it. Because if you're worried, then you're not exercising your faith. And we'll get around to that. It's another teaser. So Moses stretches out his hands down at verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hands over the sea, and all the night the Lord drove the sea back with strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. I always marvel at this. Get this. Anybody ever seen the Ten Commandments? Yeah, I seen it. When Charlton Heston puts that staff in there, boom, water goes whoosh, and they go through. This is not how it happened. The water's building up on each side, right? Through the night. So that means you got a problem. You pray. I know the Lord. Oh, I love the Lord. You pray, and the problem doesn't go right away. It's still there. And you pray. I love the Lord. But the problem doesn't go right away. And then you begin to worry. What can you take from this lesson? Trust God. The waters were building up. While the waters were building up, y'all better get this. The waters are building up. The problem is still there. The waters are building up. There's no quite yet a pathway for them to get away. The waters are building up. The problem is still there. But what? Oh, man, that was good. Let's do it again because I can't believe y'all missed your cue. The waters are building up. The problem is still there. The waters are building up. But what? But God, who is rich in mercy, but God was standing between them and the problem. Come on, somebody. Let me do it again. Water's building up. Problem. Water's building up. But what? But God. You don't have to worry. Oh, I'm going to break it down. You choose to worry. Because if you were trusting God, you would not be worrying. He has proven over and over and over and over again in his word that he can be trusted. He can do the miraculous. He can do things that you can't think of exceedingly, abundantly, more than you could ask or imagine he can do. So if you can think of it, he can do more than that. And so he's building this up the whole time. He's holding them back. The Bible says that one way, it's just darkness. And over here, it's light. And he's building it up. And what do? Oh, well, you know. Lord, I tried and it didn't work out for me. Listen, you are going to have what's called a crisis of faith. When you have issues, you're going to have a crisis of faith. Some of you may have read the book Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God. He talks about that in there. When a crisis of faith happens, you must act. There must be an action connected to your belief. Just the idea of take any one of these chairs that you guys are sitting in. And if I asked you, well, how much weight do you think that chair could hold? And you might say, oh, I think it could hold 500 pounds. And so I say, okay, if I put a 500-pound elephant on that chair, would you climb underneath it? And most people say no, but watch this. Oh, thank you for the no's. You say, yeah, it will hold 500 pounds. So are you sure? Yeah, it will hold. I know it will hold 500 pounds. So I said, okay, we're going to put a 500-pound elephant in that seat. Will you get under it? No. There's your faith, not in action. God can do anything. Oh, I trust the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And then God asks you to exercise that faith in a situation that you don't know the outcome. The water is building up. The Egyptians are here. They're coming. And God says, oh, I'll hold them off for you. And you're over here worried. Oh, they might get through. Oh, my God, what happens? Well, what happens if they get through? Well, the water's not heavy. Can't you see that the water is not ready yet? And God is standing over here going, this is what you do. This is you worrying. These are your problems. You spend so much time focusing on the fact that I said elephant. Let's be honest. Most of you, when I said the word elephant, you started thinking, well, an elephant weighs more than 500 pounds. Oh, he done got in my Kool-Aid and started sipping. I said a 500-pound elephant. Just because your brain went to, well, elephants weigh 2 tons. Doesn't mean that elephant weighed more than 500 pounds. Uh-oh. Did he get it? Did he make the point? You make your problems bigger than what they are. Oh, he preached that one. Let's go over here. Oh, he preached that one. It's like he was Nostradamus. Huh? You make your problems bigger than what they are. And so because you have built this problem up, oh, there's no way God can help me. Well, that isn't true. Just like he helped the Israelites. Think about this. Are y'all kidding? These are not beavers. This is God. This is God. You see what I'm saying? He provides an east wind, not just to push, watch this, not just to push the waters. What's he providing the east wind do? What's the east wind do? Come on now. Go outside and pour some water on some mud, on some dirt, and it's going to become mud. And then get you a bounty because it's the quicker picker-upper. And get out there and sop as much of that water. And I'm telling you right now, it's still going to be what? Mud. It's still going to be damp. But the Israelites crossed through on dry ground. We're going to talk about that, not right now, but we're going to talk about that in a little while. Remember this, faith in action. Remember this word, faith in action never worries. So when you start worrying, don't go telling your friends how faithful you are. Don't go around there talking about, oh, I love the Lord. Oh, he heard my cry. Because you're not being honest. If you are worrying, you're not exercising faith. You get that? Your faith in action never looks like worry. God knows your needs. I don't have it up here for you, but in Matthew 6:32, it says, for the pagans run after all these things, talking about your needs, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. In other words, the people who don't believe in God, they're constantly trying to, you know, I need a new house. Oh, I need a car. Oh, I need food. Oh, I need this. Oh, I need all these things. Oh, I want blah, blah. And what Jesus is saying here is these people who don't even believe in God, they run after all that stuff. God knows what you need. Trust him. And he will provide for your needs. Like I said, God was protecting the Israelites through the night. And just like God was protecting the Israelites through the night, he's protecting you and me today. I think one of the most interesting things that we will learn when we get to heaven Well, I shouldn't say we will learn. One of the most interesting things that we could learn is all the times God has spared us or saved us from a situation that we didn't even know existed. Isn't that interesting? Anybody ever left late for something? Just left late. I was running behind. You know, think about this. You left late, but if you would have left on time, you could have gotten into an accident. Real quick, funny. Well, it's not funny. I guess it's a quick story, and I'll kind of explain why it's funny. Young man, back in, you guys remember TWA? What was the airline? TWA flight 7, was it 747 or 707, whatever it was. There was a flight in New York, and it crashed, and I might have the cities wrong, but most of you guys remember it. The flight crashed, and everybody died. Well, there was a military guy, an army guy, who missed that flight, which made him now late to get back to Korea. So now the military calls that AWOL, absent without leave. But he's absent without leave because he missed his flight. Not on purpose, he missed his flight. So he gets another flight, and he gets over to Korea. So he gets to Korea late, and his boss decides this guy needs some UMCJ, which is an Article 15, right? And so he starts processing this Article 15. He's going to possibly take this guy down one rank. You guys with me? He's in trouble. And so we in the Army have what we call hell and farewells. And at the hell and farewells, we give an award to somebody. We call it the Huya Award. And talk to me later. I'll explain to you what that means. Too many young people in the room. And so this commander of that soldier is recommended for that award. It's the person who did the most unbelievably stupid thing award for the month. After the higher commander, the battalion commander heard this, it was a company commander that was doing. After this battalion commander heard this, he says, "Stop. We're not taking any more nominations. This guy's going to get that." Then he asked the S1, and I'm talking to Nathan now. He asked the S1 to go get the Article 15. And he brought the Article 15 over, and the battalion commander ripped it up. Now, why did he do that? So here's what the kid's options were. Show up late and lose a rank, or try to show up on time and die. Everyone on the flight died. You understand? You don't know what God is sparing you from. God spared this guy. Now, he didn't get in trouble. Yeah, everything worked out well for him. But this is why I'm telling you, don't worry. You don't know what God is doing. You just know he's up to something, so you need to trust him. And I like what it says in verse 27, Matthew 6, verse 27, says, "Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life?" Think about that. It's not like you're going to, "Oh man, I worried really well, so I think I'm going to live an extra 10 years now." You know, I think studies have shown, you probably have heard this, studies have shown that the more you worry, what? The more stressed you are, you're taking years off of your life. I'm going to close with this. How much do you think this water bottle weighs? Say again? About a pound. All right. So this is about a pound. So if I hold it like this for about 5 minutes, you think I'll be okay? No problem. What if I held it like this for 2 hours? The arm's going to get tired. What if I held it like this for 12 hours? She said, I'll drop dead. Am I going to be all right? I'm army strong. What if I held it like this for 24 hours? Huh? Couldn't do it. Be too heavy, yeah? Your problems are like that water bottle. When you start worrying about them, when you start focusing on them, it seems like it's no big deal. But the longer you hold on to them, the more they weigh you down, the more problems you're going to have. And what God is saying is, don't hold on to your problems. Give them to me. If you walk out of here with nothing else, I want you to walk out of here with two words. Don't worry. Don't worry. My mom, before she died, used to say all the time, she said at first, it was like, well, whatever, but now I own it. You know, it's like, there's a lot of wisdom there. She would always say, if you're going to worry, don't pray. And she said, if you're going to pray, don't worry. And so as we close, and I can get the praise team to come on up, this is what I want you thinking about. If you're going to worry, don't bother praying. You're wasting your time. But if you're going to pray, there's no need to worry. Some of you guys in here may have all kind of real problems. Real problems that you say, Greg, you don't understand. It's hard out here in these streets. And you don't get it. It's easy for you to say, don't worry. You have the best wife and daughter in the world. You got the greatest job anybody could ever want. And you go to the Rock Community Church. But let me tell you, I get the opportunity to worry. I choose not to worry. You have the opportunity to worry. You have to make a choice. Are you going to worry or are you going to trust God? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just say thank you and praise you, Lord God. We thank you because with you we don't have to worry. Lord God, I am praying specifically for people in this place right now who have problems. I'm praying, Lord, that right now you would touch their heart. Lord God, you will give them grace and relief from worrying. Lord God, I pray for those in here who are worrying and no longer want to worry. I pray that you would inspire them to come to know you more, to get into your word, to pray to you diligently, to find a friend, someone who can mentor them, to share you with them until they have their own faith and belief in you. Remind us, Lord, that there is no requirement to worry as long as we have you. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.